Good morning. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. And hopefully you all are planning on staying because we're having some food after church and having a meal downstairs. Everyone is welcome. There is always plenty of food. So please don't think because you didn't bring anything because no, not everybody brought something. So in other words, stay. It's good to see everyone. I had a thought come in my mind and then it went out. We welcome all of our members and friends of the church who will be worshiping with us through our CD ministry as well. It's always nice to know they're out there and they're with us here in spirit. And when they get to listen to the CD, we are with them in spirit. And so we are always connected, and that is a wonderful thing. Announcements for this week as well. Mick, if you have anything you want to add, but choir news, the choir is going to be starting back up, and it's September 9th is a Thursday, 7 p.m., right? Okay. That'll be their first meeting, rehearsal, and going from there. This is part of seeing how we can use our Clavinova and its recording capabilities and get creative. And so if you want to sing, feel called to sing, want to come have some fun, please come and join them and see where the adventures with the new Clavinova may lead. So Thursday, September 9th at 7 p.m. A reminder as well, again, next Sunday is September 5th, Labor Day weekend. We will be having communion next Sunday. And forgot to put it in the bulletin, but I will be out at the County Care Home next Sunday as well at 3 o'clock to have worship service with them. I'm out there. We're out there. I represent our church every other month. So the next one will be November. So if you want to come out and join us, if you're in town, please do. Are there any other announcements that we have this morning at all? Okay. Okay. The Adult Sunday School is going to come back to the church, meeting at 9:30. So downstairs, so please come to join them starting up. And you said next Sunday, correct? Yes, next Sunday we'll begin the fall. And there's also possibly in the works, we're in conversation with, or I'm talking with Frank, my husband, and David Fry Hall, David Hall Fry. I went blank again. Yes, down at the Methodist Church about maybe seeing if we can do some joint Bible study kind of things and possibly with between St. Paul's and us do something that's lectionary based. So we're looking at doing those things as well. So we'll see where God calls us in the future for some scripture study. Any other announcements at all? Any? Hear these words of Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let us, oh, and we welcome Luann back. It's nice to have you back with us. We've missed you. In body, not just in spirit recording, but she is back. So we worship our God now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you. You are invited to rise in body, heart, mind, spirit for our call to worship this day. Come and find your place at the welcome table of God. Come and offer thanks and wonder for the bounties of God's love.
Come and offer a place to those who need such hospitality.
Come that you may go out filled and empowered. Come that you may go out in grace-filled service. Let us pray. Gracious and abundant and welcoming God, you invite us to come and gather around your table of grace, your table of love. You call us to be your disciples, to reveal that love to all people. We ask you to come into our hearts in this time of worship. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our very being and life to you and to all your creation, that we might know your beckoning call, that we might know your open arms of welcome for all creation, and that we might extend your love as we move from this place to all people. For there are so many who are yearning and craving and lost, who need your love and your grace. So descend upon us now, O Holy Spirit of God, and fill us with openness and welcome. Amen. Our opening hymn is now Thank We All Our God, number 567. Let us join in our call to confession. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sins before God and one another, praying together, saying, Forgive us, Holy God, for the unhealthy habits we fall into. Forgive us for siding up to those who have something to offer us. Forgive us for turning aside from those we think would only be a drain upon us. Forgive us for fellowship that has the ring of members only. Forgive us for evangelism that dwells more on survival than on making disciples and opening our tables. Restore us in the grace of Christ with the gift of your Spirit. Amen. You are invited into a time of silent reflection and prayer. Amen. God hears the confessions of our hearts and lips. Through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven all our sins, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered for new life. The good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise. Prayer for illumination. Awesome. Prayer.
The first reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, then 15 and 16. If you wish to read along with me or join while I read, it'd be found on page 308 of the Pew Bibles. Keep on loving one another as Christian brothers. Remember to welcome strangers in your home. There were some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing it. Remember those who were in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as though you were suffering as they do. Marriage is to be honored by all. And husbands and wives must be faithful to each other. God will judge those who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you, I will never abandon you. Let us be bold then and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your former leaders who spoke God's message to you. Think back on how they lived and died and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us then always offer praise to God as we sacrifice through Jesus, which is the offering presented by lips that confess him as Lord. Do not forget to do good and help one another, because these are the sacrifices that please God. Then the responsive reading today comes from page 649, can be found on 649. It will be Psalm 81, and the first 10 verses, and then we'll all join together with verse 16. So this side over here, my side, will be reading the odd number verses. Pastor Susan's side, the even number verses, and then we'll join in on 16. Psalm 81. Shout for joy to God our defender. Sing praise to the God of Jacob.
Verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open your mouth, and I will feed you.
But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not obey me.
So I let them go their stubborn ways and do whatever they wanted.
How I wish my people would listen to me. How I wish they would obey me.
I would quickly defeat their enemies and conquer all their foes.
Those who hate me would bow in fear before me. Their punishment would last forever.
But I would feed you with the finest wheat and satisfy you with wild honey. Our gospel reading this day is found in the gospel according to Luke, chapter 14. We're doing a lot of this today, starting with verse 1 and then jumping over to verse 17. Keep you awake and keep you moving around. Luke 14, beginning at verse 1 and then continuing at 7 through 14. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. Now he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of amazing hospitality, love, and welcome, you beckon us today to hear your word. open us, that the meditations of our hearts, the meditations of my hearts, and the word of my mouth may be acceptable to you this day. And as we go forth, your disciples in this world, we pray this and ask this in the name of your Son, our Redeemer. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 14 of Luke. There is a lot that is told to us in this one little verse. One Sabbath when he went to dine at the house of the ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. Jesus is the guest at this meal. And if on some rainy day, and we've got to have a rainy day coming up sooner or later, we can't go on, even though the humidity is broken, we can't continue with this heat forever. When you get that rainy day and you want something to do, read the Gospel of Luke, front to end, read the whole thing. But take note of the times that Jesus gathers at table with someone, that he gathers in a house to share a meal, and pretty much every time uses that opportunity to tell a parable, to do some sort of act of healing. He reveals much around the table. The table is a place, if you think about it, for us where much happens. We gather as a family around the table and we share our days, we share our lives, we talk about where we're going as a family, decisions that are being made. Kids, young adults are going off to college, their futures. We gather around tables with our friends to catch up and see what's happening. We have family reunions, Thanksgiving meals around the table. We have funerals, and after the funeral, we gather around the table. That time of sharing around a meal is important. We open up our lives, we laugh, we have conflict and arguments, we maybe even shed some tears. It is a good time, though. It is one of the fullest places of being human, that time when we gather around the table and we relate to one another. Well, Jesus is relating to the Pharisees today. One of the rulers of the Pharisees, we're told in this first verse. The Pharisees, they get a bum rap. We look at them as the law keepers. Remember last week, I said the guardian of the law and what we are to do and not to do. But that role is incredibly important because that role of the Pharisee for the Hebrew people, the Jews, is to help keep them grounded and centered on their faith. For they are no longer in their holy land. Those that live in Palestine may have a difficult time making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the feast. They can't afford, or they don't have the donkey or the mule to get them to Jerusalem to make that pilgrimage to the holy place. And so the Pharisees are the ones that say, here is the word of God, the Torah. And here are the rules, the things that we can and cannot do. And we're told again in this verse that it's the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath, we know, for the Jewish people was held from Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. The Pharisees were the ones that when the Hebrew people were living and working and going about in a culture that had many gods and pagan faiths, that they were God's chosen people. And it was a place for them to, again, as I said, be grounded and centered in who they were as the one holy God, as his chosen ones. So the Pharisee had a very important role in the life of the Jewish people. So not only is Jesus the guest in this house this day on the Sabbath with the Pharisees, but we're also told they're watching him carefully. You can't help but sort of think he's walking into the lion's den, if you will, because Jesus is going to be Jesus. Jesus is going to be the Son of God. Jesus is going to be the incarnate God. And when he sits down with people at table, he is going to reveal things about God. And that revelation that Jesus has come to reveal is broader than what the Pharisees want to hear. He is shifting the paradigms of their faith, and they don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable. We remember that Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem, and the Pharisees will be part of that journey all the way. So as they gather around this table to share this meal, Jesus begins to talk about the parable of the wedding feast. We know as we look into Scripture that Jesus is the bridegroom, the head of the church, and the church is the bride. It beckons us to be drawn into that fact for us as the church. But Jesus reminds us as he talks to them of the seat of honor in a house or when a party is given. And that seat was always the center cushion. If you remember, when they would have gathered for a meal, they would have reclined around the table. And the center seat was always held for that place of honor. Now, if you came waltzing in and plopped yourself down on that cushion, the probability that somebody more important than you had been invited was probably pretty great, and there would be a bit of embarrassment. Embarrassment for the host, embarrassment for you, and possibly, maybe not so much embarrassment for the person who is about to get your seat when you were asked to politely move, please, because you are not worthy enough of the seat of honor. So Jesus says to them, come humbly into the feast. Come humbly to the table. Don't overestimate who you are. Be the one to sit off to the side that another might be exalted over you. But he doesn't stop there. He continues on with yet another parable, another great banquet. And he says to his host, this ruler of the Pharisees, when you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. More than likely, that's exactly who is gathered around that table that day. Lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. Well, my goodness, I put on such a lavish meal for me, for you all. Certainly you all would return the favor one day. Jesus says, no, you are to invite to your feast all those people that can't repay you. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, essentially the outcasts, the ones that you would not touch, you would not talk to, you would not have anything to do, and Jesus says, that's how you will be blessed. Because you cannot be repaid by these people, but you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. There is a story about a church, and it was one of the tall steeple churches. Essentially, a tall steeple church is a big, huge cathedral that we think of with hundreds of people in worship in one of the larger cities. And everyone was very nicely dressed in their sport coats and their suits and their ties, and the women were in lovely dresses. Everyone's in heels. And in walks a young man, sort of ratty, raggedy looking, long hair, a little bit scruffy, t-shirt, tie-dyed, jeans, kind of a little sloppy, dragging on the ground, got his sandals on, takes a bulletin from the usher, and proceeds to come into the church. And he continues down the aisle and comes up front and decides to sit on the floor in the front of the church. Well, you can only imagine, as he came down that center aisle, that the whispers got louder and louder and louder as more people saw him come in, and everyone's rolling their eyes and saying, oh my goodness gracious, what is he doing here? Look at him. And of course, you can only imagine the chatter. Doesn't he know you're supposed to dress up and get clean and look nice when you come to church? And the ushers in the back, since they have given him this bulletin, well, they're in a tizzy. They don't know what to do because they know everybody's going to get all upset and all excited about this. And they know that they are going to be looked at as the ones to take care of this young man and do something about him. Well, one of the elders says, I'll go say something to him. Now this gentleman in his suit and tie and walking with a cane goes down the aisle, and as everybody sees him, the whispers start to calm down a little bit because they know him and they know that he will take care of the situation as politely and calmly and peacefully as it can be taken care of. Well, as he gets closer to the young man, still sitting on the floor, he stops at an empty pew and he takes off his jacket and he undoes his tie and he undoes the top button, lays the jacket and the tie on the seat, and he walks up to the young man, leans over, shakes his hand, introduces himself, asks the young man his name, and he says, welcome. It's good to have you here with us today. And then in an awkwardness with his cane and trying to maneuver with the pew, the man sits down on the floor, and the young man helps him, realizing that he's a little unstable on his feet. And the two sit down front for the worship service. As we look around our church, and we see the empty spaces, usually I think the first thoughts that come to our mind are the people that used to sit there. Loved ones, grandparents, family, friends that are gone. You know, they've passed on. They are with God now. And we miss them, and we think lovingly of them. Sometimes we don't think of them too often, or we get kind of blindsided. We hear a hymn, or something happens, and it makes us think of them. We always remember them on All Saints' Day. They come to our minds. And then we also think of people that used to be here, maybe even used to sit with us in the pews, that for whatever reason, something happened, they got mad, somebody said something, or they just... life happened and they drifted away from church. But we miss them. You know, we liked having them here. We liked them as people and we missed their presence. But as I thought more about this scripture, I got thinking about these empty spaces. And I started thinking, what if these empty spaces are supposed to be for all of the strangers out there that we don't invite, all of the people that we're afraid to speak to or we're not certain what to say to them and so we never invite them, or we might feel uncomfortable if they were here because maybe they think differently than we do or their beliefs are a little different than ours are, and we're afraid of that challenge or that conflict. I mean, heaven forbid we might grow in our faith, become deeper in our spiritual lives. But what if all these empty seats are for those people, those strangers that we never invite? Jesus says, don't invite your friends, your brothers, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. And we all succumb to this. I did it. I got a good smack on the back of the head when I thought about the bulletin I had put out last week and the announcement about today's lunch, our picnic. And I wrote in there, invite a friend. I didn't say invite a stranger. We're all tempted. We all fall into it. We are told to be humble, to share God's love and grace, and to invite that person that is very different from us. One that we probably might not become friends with, or we might get to know and become really good friends with when we learn their life story. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Some have entertained the Christ in another unaware. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn, Amazing Grace, number 391.
Thank you.
Let us have a time of quiet prayer as we listen for God's stirrings in our hearts. Amen. We are blessed with this time of prayer when we share our joys, our concerns, our thanksgivings. What do you feel called to share this day?
My children are all going to be gone.
Is that a joy? Is that a concern? They're gone. It is. Yeah. And I think for many in this congregation, it is kind of strange when we have a family who you remember all their little ones when you were carrying them around too, and they are all in college now. Yes. Old friends welcomed back. Yes. I love having the kids here. I really do. We have Lois Kirkbride's little grandson, Brady, and he was in church today. And, you know, they're so cute. So I love it when they're all here. So I'm thankful for them. They are the face of grace and love. So, are there any other prayers? Travel Mercies, when do you all go back again? Sunday. So will you be able to be with us next Sunday, or are you leaving early in the morning? Well, Travel Mercies, and enjoy the rest of your stay here. I'm sure you're enjoying having them here. It's always nice to have Mom around, isn't it? We never get too old to have Mom around, I don't think. Are there any others? Yes, we have had a beautiful day. And our kids did well at the fair. I don't know how everybody did exactly, but I know I heard names and saw ribbons. And so how did we all do? And nobody got hurt, so that's a gift and a blessing. Good. Oh, really?
And Corey, the grand champion breeder, of course, now it might be that he's the only breeder. Corey, I was having a lot of conversations.
Yeah.
Real thankful that they at least had their own trophy to take home.
So, Kevin took grand champion
overall
poultry. And then Corey took grand champion with the breeder sheep. And I haven't heard how Cheyenne, oh gosh, are China and, no, Savannah, they're too old. So I know Cheyenne would have been competing. And Jaren, I think I heard his name. Yeah, and I thought I heard Jaren's name announced for something, but I just caught his name. So we'll have to find out how they did as well. But again, we're thankful that they had a good time, had fun, did well, and no one was injured or harmed. So, any other prayers this day? The new pastor at the Nazarene Church. His name is Rick. I haven't met him yet, but since he came in May, he found out that he has lymphoma. So he has been undergoing aggressive treatment for that. So we hold him in our prayers. Any others? Let us prepare our hearts for prayer. God of grace, we humbly come before you this day, a beautiful day in your creation. We come this day to give you glory, to praise you, that you have called us to be your people, to be your disciples. We come this day because we know that we are in need of your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. And day after day, we need to be reminded that we are loved, that we are forgiven. And most of all, we come that we might be refueled and refreshed and renewed, that we can go forth in this world to face the challenges in our own lives. And you know what those challenges are, O Lord. But we also go forth that we might reflect that love, your light in the world, that we might walk a different step than the secular world walks, that we might reflect your peace, that people might know your heaven on this earth as we pray in the prayer that Jesus taught us every Sunday. And we humbly come before you, O Lord, to lay before you our prayers, our concerns, our worries, our fears, our uncertainties, and our thankfulness for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. For those that we see and pay attention to, and the ones that we just let bounce off of us when we get so self-centered and self-absorbed. We pray, O Lord, that you will open our hearts and keep them open and open our eyes, that we are not afraid to speak up when we see a wrong done to another human being. And as we bring our prayers forth this day, there are many, O Lord, who need your grace and your mercy. For there are many in our country who still are rebuilding from damage of storms and hurricanes and tornadoes. There are many who are still rebuilding from fire. There are many in the world that have suffered loss due to hurricanes and flooding and fire and the power of your creation that hits up against our civilization. We ask, O Lord, that you care for those people. Bless them with food and water and health. We ask, O Lord, that the people of power and wealth in this world might get up one day and look in the mirror and realize that they do not need the abundance, the overabundance, the sickening wealth that one person has, and that they may have a heart that is so filled with love for humanity that their wealth gives to all who are in need. For your creation, O God, has given us an abundance to care for all. your people. So we bring our prayers to you this day, O Lord, spoken and unspoken. And we pray for the ones that we have named and call by name each week before you. You know their needs. You know the healing of mind, body, and soul they require. So we ask, O Lord, in humility and love, that you receive our prayers this day. And hear us now, O Mighty One, as we pray as Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Come forward with thanksgiving and praise, glad for the opportunity to give as a sign that Jesus lives in our midst and as we go forth into the world. Together saying, we cannot repay you for your love and grace, but you do not seek repayment from us. You seek for us to go and do likewise, to show your love and grace to every person we encounter. May these our gifts and each one of us, the givers, do just that. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us go forth in humility. God is ready to exalt all his creation. Give thanks as you go forward in faith, confident in God's presence is with you always. Joyful in God's spirit within each one of you. Our closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation, number 320.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, we ask your blessing upon this meal that we are about to receive. We ask your blessing upon all those whose hands have prepared it from farm and field to bring it to this table, that it may nourish us in this time of fellowship, the love between us, that it may grow, and that as we go forth, your people, we may be strengthened for our vocation, our calling, and the work ahead of us. We give you thanks, O gracious and loving God, for your love and your grace that is always with us. And now may the God who formed you empower you to live boldly in this world with grace. May the love of Jesus Christ that surrounds you inspire you to serve others with love. May the Holy Spirit guide and comfort you and give you peace. Amen.